Today, we're talking about a major global initiative that could reshape how we understand, detect, and treat ovarian cancer. Despite being one of the most lethal cancers for women worldwide, progress in ovarian cancer research has lagged far behind other diseases. But a new international coalition bringing together research organizations from four countries and technological power of Microsoft is aiming to change that. They just announced a first-of-its-kind $1 million grant with additional $1 million in AI support from Microsoft to harness the artificial intelligence in the fight against ovarian cancer. Joining us now is the president and CEO of Ovarian Cancer Research Alliance to tell us more about this global effort and what it means for the future of women's health. Welcome to the program.
Welcome. Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, so let's talk about this coalition. What inspired the formation of this global Ovarian Cancer Research Coalition?
Well, Ovarian Cancer Research Alliance, my organization, has been working globally for many years. We fund researchers all around the world. You know, we really don't care where a cure comes from. That's the truth. So we were at a meeting about a year ago with some of our counterparts, some of our sister organizations from other countries, and we started talking about collaboration and needing to collaborate across countries. And so we decided to develop this consortium, which we did, and we wanted to have an inaugural effort to make a really big splash, to get attention, and also to really harness the power of AI, because we know that this is the future. And we know in other disease spaces, AI has been so successful. So we came together and decided to do a $1 million grant. And we have a wonderful partnership with Microsoft's AI for Health Lab. And they agreed to come in with a $1 million in-kind compute power credits for us. So it's really a $2 million grant. And we're launching today. And it's World Ovarian Cancer Day.
So before we get into the specifics of how this software or how this will work for cancer detection, I mentioned that ovarian cancer research has lagged behind other forms of cancer, like breast or skin cancer. Why is that?
Well, there's so many reasons, but one of the main reasons is there's no early detection test. Mm. So there's not a mammogram like there is for breast cancer. And this has really been the holy grail. The scientists have been looking and trying to determine how can we catch this earlier. And in fact, they have been able to catch it earlier. But what we've learned is that it needs to be caught much earlier, probably 5 years before someone even begins to have symptoms and goes to their doctor. So right now, there's not current technology that we know of or aware of yet that can do that. And so AI holds great promise for early detection and also for better treatment.
So can you walk us through that? Walk us through how AI can be used to improve ovarian cancer detection or treatment?
Yes, absolutely. So for example, we have a grantee at Memorial Sloan Kettering, and I visited him recently in his lab. He's doing some blood work, and he's using AI and nanotechnology to identify in the blood certain molecules that he's identified that would be precursors or early ovarian cancer. And so and he's using AI to do this. It was amazing to see it when you see it on a computer screen and you see how it's actually being done. And it's actually really exciting. But his grant has been going extraordinarily well, and we're really hopeful that it will come to maybe a 5 year earlier ability to detect this disease.
Wow. And so I'm assuming, since it has to be detected early, that the plan for women would change as far as standard tests going on. Like, the doctors would have to say, hey, do you want to take this test to see if you're in danger of having cancer?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. We always encourage people to know their family history and to know their risk. And we actually offer a free genetic testing program on our website, ozerahope.org. But really, if everyone knew their risk and talked to their doctors, there's not a test. And if there were a test and it was affordable, like a pap smear, and it could be done at every woman visit, that would be extraordinary. That would be the ideal.
Yeah. We talked about, how lag, and a lot of different reasons why ovarian cancer research has lagged. But what are some of the biggest challenges facing ovarian cancer research that researchers have today?
Well, but what they found is that, number one, it's a heterogeneous disease. It's not really one disease. It's a lot of different types of ovarian cancer. So that makes it really difficult because you're studying a lot of different things, and yet it presents almost in the same way. And it also starts in the fallopian tube in most cases. And if not all, at least 80% believe to start in the fallopian tubes. And so it's a very internal disease, whereas with breast cancer, you might feel a lump, or your mammogram would detect it because it's more external. So especially when it starts in the tubes, it takes a long time to migrate to the ovaries. And again, that's why you wouldn't experience symptoms until it migrated. And at that point, it's actually already spread. So that's really one of the biggest challenges.
So you mentioned that the what started today? The research started today or the initiative or what exactly is starting today? I just want to make sure I have that right.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's World Ovarian Cancer Day. So we just took this opportunity because every year we mark this day. I wouldn't say we celebrate this day, obviously, but we always mark this day with trying to raise awareness. And so today is World Ovarian Cancer Day and the launch of the grant, but it's also the launch of this consortium. So publicly, we've started talking about it today. We're all promoting it. And we're with three other groups that are fantastic groups. One is in Australia, one is in the UK, and the other is in Canada.
It's great that it's really a global effort for this initiative.
Yes. It is. And really, our goal is to impact survival rates because right now it is about 50%, and that's just unacceptable. So that's the goal of this. And AI holds such promise, and it's shown promise in so many other disease areas. We're incredibly excited to be behind this.
Yeah. So how can patients and families or advocates get involved or support this global effort?
Please visit our website because you can read all about the launch of the consortium. I do a little video to talk about it. Of course, if you're a researcher, we would love for you to apply for it and let your friends know if you're a researcher. But really, there's so many ways people can get involved. We, Ovarian Cancer Research Alliance, does advocacy work in DC, and we train advocate leaders. So if someone's interested in doing advocacy work, which would be incredibly important if, like, for example, a new test is found, we would need to advocate to have that test covered by various insurances and Medicare. So that's one way to get involved. If you're a survivor, you should definitely visit our website because you can become a peer mentor. You can get a peer mentor. You can help us train medical students. There's a number of ways to get involved.
Now, looking ahead, what does success look like for this coalition over the next, say, 5 to 10 years?
That's a great question. We just started it, so we have a lot of big plans. But first, just obviously launch this grant. But I think ideally down the road, we'd like to make this obviously a more regular thing to work collaboratively across countries because that doesn't always happen as often as you might think it would. We also want to encourage information sharing and data sharing internationally. So we have some initiatives around that we'll be working on in the consortium because it's hard to share data across borders. So we've got to figure that out. And I think that's why this is so key. So those are two of our big goals. But beyond that, we obviously want to support patients and share information with each other. There's no reason to be competitive. We need to work together. And again, we don't care where it comes from. So it's really across borders at this point.
Right. Now, I just have a question that just came on top of my head. I'm just listening to this. I do have experience with family members who had ovarian cancer. So you're hearing this, my mom had ovarian cancer. She passed away in 2007. So this is something near and dear to my heart. And I hear this and it's so promising. And it's just, but when do you think this will actually be a reality that you can go to a doctor's office, a woman can go to a doctor's office at a young age and this test is available and they can say, hey, I want to be tested to see if possibility in the future could have ovarian cancer or the markers of ovarian cancer. When do you think, you might not have the answer right now, but when do you think this could actually be a reality?
If you'd asked me about a year ago, I would have probably said quite some time. So for example, to get a new drug to market, it can take 10 years, which is a really long time when people are sick and waiting for something. But now, and I'm sure you've seen it and all of your listeners have seen that AI is just increasing so quickly, the potential for so many things. And the changes that have occurred in the last year alone are staggering. ChatGPT itself is so fascinating. It's not something I even knew existed 6 months ago. And now I think I use it every day. So we believe that AI really holds that promise to accelerate those changes and that progress. So it could be much shorter. I certainly don't want it to be 10 years.
Yeah, the AI explosion that happened, it's been actually around a couple of years, and it's amazing how in the past year and a half or 2 years, it just really has become part of our lexicon or fabric of life now. And I just can imagine what's going to happen in the next 5 years. And something like this is just, it's for folks like me who has experience and I have a young daughter myself and I would hate for her to go to to what my mom went through. This just looks so promising and like hopeful that not only for this, but for all kinds of cancers in the future.
It absolutely is. It holds great promise for all cancers. I think of it as like the advent of the internet. It's hard for any of us right now to remember when there was no internet. But once the internet started, collaboration is still sometimes hard, but it's so much more collaborative now. Scientists can go online. They can do a search. That to me was a kind of revolution in science. And this feels like an even bigger revolution.
We're running out of time here. I just want, before we leave, is there anything we have not touched on you want folks to know, either about this grant or sort of the work that the Ovarian Cancer Research Alliance does?
Yeah, I would just say, if anybody, again, would like to visit our website, I encourage you to go to ocrahope.org and check out our free genetic testing, because it's a short quiz and might not be eligible. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't talk to your doctor anyway about risk, but I think that's really important. And if you qualify, you'll have end-to-end service. That test kit will be shipped to your home. You'll get your results. You would be connected with a genetic counselor if there was anything wrong. So I would definitely encourage people to do that. And also to just read about prevention and different preventative efforts. And there's lots of information on the website, but I think that would be my takeaway message.
Great, great. Again, I do appreciate it. We're talking to Audrey Moran, President and CEO of the Ovarian Cancer Research Alliance, talking about a multi-million-dollar grant that helped support detection and treatment for ovarian cancer. Again, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.